So we've taken a long break from our normal program between talking about the Yom Tovim and taking off for all the holidays. So we've probably been a good 2 months since we discussed our normal topics. But we're still going through different mitzvos and discussing the basics and the meaning of mitzvos in the Torah. So I want to start now, I guess there'll be a few week series, on the mitzvos, the different eating mitzvos. The prohibitions and the restrictions and the standards the Torah puts on eating, the laws of kosher and the like. And it's something which, you know, it affects our daily life in a very, very prominent way. And eating in Judaism itself, the old joke goes, every single holiday is about what do you eat, you know. And on Sukkot, where do you eat? You know, what's the joke they say? You know, they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. That's the old joke, you know. That's what Jewish holidays are like. Because food takes a major front seat in Judaism in a lot of ways. And you think through it. I mean, you think about the holidays. I mean, we have all the laws of kashrus, meat and milk, not eating certain types of foods, a pig and shellfish, etc. But you talk about the holidays. Pesach's about don't eat chametz. On Shavuos, we have customs to eat certain things like dairy foods, cheesecakes. Sukkot, you're supposed to eat in the sukkah. You know, you talk about Purim. Every holiday has its foods. Purim has its hamantashen, and it has a mitzvah to have a nice big suda and have a festive meal. Yom Kippur, you don't eat. Rosh Hashanah, we eat, and we eat special foods at night because they're good signs for us. But every holiday is about what do you eat. Really, you know, every holiday you have that what do you eat, what don't you eat. Hanukkah, of course, we have latkes and donuts on Hanukkah. So what's the significance of food in Judaism? Why does God regulate what we eat, what we don't eat? Why is that part of the Torah in a very prominent way? So I'm going to go through a few different approaches. I mean, today we'll discuss the generalities, and then, God willing, we'll talk about the specific prohibitions in the next few weeks. But just to have a general approach to the prominence of eating and of food in the Torah in general. So, I mean, we all understand you are what you eat. That's something. It's, you know, it's a phrase, but it's true. You know, it goes into our system. We get our nutrients from it. It gives us our strength, gives us our energy. We are what we eat. That's 100% true. Eat healthy. You are healthy. You feel good. You eat unhealthy. You're not healthy. You don't feel good. I mean, we've all experienced it. We all know how significant food is in that way. So obviously, food affects us. So we're discussing on a very physical level. We know if we eat fatty foods, so then it could affect our cholesterol, our arteries. We eat, you know, a lot of vegetables and give us nutrients. But if on a physical level we know that food affects us in such a prominent way, so certainly on a spiritual level food has an effect as well. We always have a correlation between physical and the spiritual. Things you see in the physical world are merely reflections of something happening on a more spiritual world, a more spiritual reality. So with that in mind, we understand how physically food is so significant, so certainly spiritually food is so significant. So the first thing I'd like to do is just give some of the approaches that you find in the commentaries, in the basic early commentaries, as to why Hashem regulates to eat kosher food. Let's talk about that first. Why we need kosher food? So the one thing we hear a lot, which a lot of times you kind of brush off as thinking that can't be the reason, is that it's physically healthy. A lot of people who don't know much about Judaism, you speak to non-Jews, ask them why do Jews eat kosher, maybe the same people might say it's healthier. So I always thought, you know, I don't know if there's really a truth to that. Scientifically, I don't know if it can be proved that kosher food is healthier or not. But the truth is, I found that a lot of the early commentaries say that that's part of the significance of the laws of kosher. And the Sefer HaChinuch writes, which is one of the primary works on understanding mitzvos, he says that the body is the tool for the soul. A soul cannot connect with this world without a body. That's how a soul is. It's like you have, you know, a computer program and a computer. You can have the program on a disk, but you don't have the computer and the program can't function. The soul is like that program, has to function through the body. If the body is unhealthy, so the soul is going to be at a loss, because how can the soul accomplish what it's supposed to do in this world if the body is not healthy? That's what Sefer HaChinuch writes. So the Torah desires to protect our bodies. Thereby, the Torah will regulate what foods to eat, what foods not to eat, because these foods are healthier. That's what Sefer HaChinuch writes. Now we're going to say, well, is that proven medically? Is that proven scientifically? Are these foods really healthier or not? So Sefer HaChinuch addresses that question. I mean, he is an early Rishon. He's probably writing, I think, in the mid-1300s or so. And he says that, you know what? You know, God is the ultimate doctor. We pray every day in the Shema Esrei. We say Hashem is the Rofei Nema, and he's the trustworthy doctor. And even if we don't understand what makes these foods healthy other foods, God knows. God knows why they're healthy. So that's what he says. So even though, like I said, medically, I don't know if we can prove that kosher food is healthy or not kosher food. In some ways we can, I think. Some ways we can't. But Ultimately, Sefer Chinuch writes, Hashem is the ultimate doctor. He's the doctor of all doctors, and Hashem is the one who created the body. Hashem is aware of the body. And Hashem knows which foods are going to be best for the human being's physical health, and which foods are not. So that's what the Sefer Chinuch writes. Now, there's another level to it, which I think nowadays probably makes more sense to us than it did 500 years ago. But the Ramban, Nachmanides, writes that, you know, we know foods can have an effect on a person emotionally. So in his days, I'm not sure what they knew medically about, you know, chemicals in the body, chemical imbalances, things like that. I mean, nowadays, it's very common that a person may have be in certain moods based on the chemicals in their body, and they can be treated. You give a person a certain type of medication, and that will help their mood, that will help their emotions. And that's a very common practice in modern medicine. So I'm not sure if the Ramban was aware of that. The Ramban writes that, you know, foods have effect on our character, an effect on our mitos, and our emotions, and the way that we react to things.
Foods are acting as medicines.
I don't know if they're acting as medicines, but Hashem prescribes to us the foods that will have the best effect on our emotions. So it's not that we're emotionally unsound and the food's going to help us, but it's that Hashem is allowing us to eat those foods which are going to make sure that our character remains as, you know, as much in line as it could. So the Ramban writes that even though, like I'm saying, even though I don't know if he was fully aware of the science behind it, but nowadays I think we are aware of some of that science, that food does affect the person's emotions. And the Ramban writes that Hashem wants us to eat foods that are going to have the best effect on our emotions and our reactions and our mitos. Right. So that's another layer of understanding when it comes to kosher food. You have the idea that some commentaries explain it's physically healthy, some commentaries explain that it is emotionally healthy, emotionally healthy foods. Now there's a third level of understanding, which in my mind was always the one which I felt was the primary understanding of it, but as you see, it's not the only understanding of it. The third level of understanding of the restrictions on food is based on a verse in, it's at the end of Parsha Shmini. Let's read it to you. It's discussing forbidden foods in Parsha Shmini. Parsha Shmini is really the Parsha of the Torah which delineates to us kosher and non-kosher foods. And it says there, sorry to find it. Yeah, so it says, "Al teshaktus nafshoseichen." You should not disgust your soul by eating kol sheretz hashoretz. By eating sheretz hashoretz refers to eating certain types of like bugs and rodents, things like that, like things that would be disgusting. So those are forbidden in terms of kosher as well. And it says you should not make your soul disgusted by it. You should not become impure through them. So the way that the Gemara understands that term in Mesem Bam, the Gemara says it means, the term is called Timtu. It clogs you up. It creates a blockage. It doesn't mean it blocks your arteries. What the Gemara says is that sin can block your spiritual sensitivity. So the idea of that is that eating non-kosher food can create spiritual blockages. There are certain foods which have a good effect on our soul and allow us to connect more closely with God. And some foods might have a negative effect on our soul and create a lack of spiritual sensitivity. It'll create a blockage within our soul in terms of connecting with God. So it's not physically healthy, it's spiritually healthy. Just like there's certain foods that are healthy for the body, some foods are healthy for the soul. The Torah was prescribing to us the foods that are healthy for the soul. We don't know, there's no science behind the soul, so we can't explain why a cow is okay and a pig is not okay. Because that's God's business. We don't understand the science of the soul. There's such thing as the science of the soul. That's something totally spiritual. But Hashem knows, and Hashem tells us, these foods are healthy for your soul. They allow your soul to be spiritually sensitive, allow your soul to connect more readily with God. Non-kosher foods are foods which create a blockage spiritually. And that blockage gets in the way of connecting with God. That's the way it's understood. So the other foods, there's a weakness involved. And it says also that if these foods can make you impure. Impurity also is something which affects the soul. So that's the third level of understanding. So you have the idea of physical health, according to some commentaries. You have the idea of emotional health. There's the idea of spiritual health. the Sforno writes, one of the primary commentaries, the Sforno, he writes that the goal of eating kosher food is to create a person who's worthy of having God's presence dwell within his or her midst. So somebody's eating kosher food, they don't have that spiritual purity to allow God to dwell in their midst to the same extent, the same intensity. Kosher food allows that person to develop to the point spiritually where they are now an appropriate vessel upon which God can rest. That's what the Sforno writes. They're all pointing to the fact that these are spiritually healthy foods. That's what he's pointing to the fact. So those are three different levels of understanding. If it's good, if it's kosher or not kosher, you know, that's the bottom line. So those are all, I guess, understandings of kosher food in general. There is another understanding of eating, which you find in the Torah, which is important always to have in mind with any mitzvah, which is the concept of sanctity. Very often you find eating kind of a sanctity in the Torah. The idea of kedusha, holiness or sanctity. So in English we say holiness, we don't really know, it's a very vague term, it's kind of abstract. What does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be sanctified? It's a very strange term. But in Hebrew you have the word kodesh. And you find very often that regulating physical involvement creates kedusha, creates holiness. What do I mean by that? So for instance, it says in Parshas Mishpatim, where it tells you not to eat a trefa. A trefa is an animal that has some sort of blemish. We use the word trefa to mean anything non-kosher. That's a colloquial term. The word trefa in the Torah means an animal which has some physical disability. Even if you give it a kosher slaughter, you can't eat it. That's called a trefa. When they do a shechita in a kosher slaughterhouse, the shochet has to check the animal for certain blemishes, for certain disabilities, because if they find a broken limb over here or a puncture over there and it's in a certain organ or body part, that renders the animal a trefa. So when the Torah is introducing the laws of trefa, the Torah says, "Anshe kodesh tihiyuli, you should be holy people to me, and therefore don't eat a trefa." That's what it says, because holiness is connected with kosher eating. You also have in Parshas Shmini as well, when it discusses kosher food, it says, "Visem kedoshim, you should be holy, ki kadosh ani, because I am holy," God says. So you find the Torah linking the idea of kedusha, of holiness, with eating. Furthermore, you have the Rambam. The Rambam is known that he's very exact in his organization of his works. I mean, the Rambam is famous for being the most organized author of Jewish history. I mean, his work is 100% organized, in the right order. And we derive a lot of lessons from the order of the Rambam's works. So Rambam in Mishneh Torah, which that was really his magnum opus. That's his largest work. That's his work. He compiled all of Halacha in Mishneh Torah. So he has one. Mishneh Torah is 14 different books. One book is called Sefer Kedusha, the Book of Holiness. So what does he include in the Book of Holiness? He includes the laws of forbidden foods, and he includes the laws of forbidden sexual relationships. That's the Book of Holiness. Because the Rambam understands that holiness is derived through interacting with the physical world in a holy way. We don't look at prayer is not in the Book of Holiness, and tefillah is not in the Book of Holiness, Yom Kippur is not in the Book of Holiness. These things that we think those things are so high and holy, which they are, but holiness, in its most basic sense in the Torah, of Kedusha, it means being able to regulate ourselves in our involvement with the physical world. That's what holiness means. So when anyone asks, what is Kedusha? I would say that the definition of Kedusha, of holiness, means that I'm becoming more in touch with my neshama, with my soul, and less bound by my physical body. So everyone has to eat, and we should enjoy our eating, and we have mitzvah to enjoy eating on Shabbos, and to appreciate God's world. But not to be sucked into the food, not to go after a lust for food, not to become carried away with food. That's holiness. The food's going to be kosher. I'm going to try to eat what's healthy for my body. I'm going to eat within reason, not overeat. I'm going to make the blessing before and after. That's holiness. So the person is involved in the physical world. The person is eating. But yet the person's eating and regulating themselves so that they eat in a holy way. That's the idea of holiness. And why is that? Because if we let our body take over ourselves, that's the opposite of holiness. Holiness is I'm coming in touch with my soul. I'm trying to separate from my bodily desires and be in touch with my soul. If I let my body take over me, and I just start eating whatever I want to eat all the time, and I overeat, and I eat unhealthy things, and I eat unkosher things, I don't make the blessings, everything else, so I'm letting my body take over. And then I'm no longer in touch with my soul. And that's the balance you're going to have. The same thing with, so the Rambam talks about relationships as well. It's the same thing. If a person has a holy relationship with a spouse and the rules of the Torah, that's holiness. People who are just promiscuous in their sexual relationships, that's the lack of holiness. So the Torah is saying, be involved with physical, but don't let your body overtake you. Do it in the standards of the Torah. Do it in a way which shows control, and which shows that you're weighing things with your mind and your soul, and not just letting your body take charge. That's holiness. It's the idea of kedusha. The Ramban Nachmanides adds in a very important point, which I'm sure we've all thought of from time to time. He has a famous concept. He calls it nazal birshus haTorah. A person can be a disgusting glutton with the permission of the Torah. What does that mean? My food is 100% glatt kosher. I made a blessing before and after, but I'm stuffing it down, constantly picking out, with my hands. Nowhere in the Torah does it say not to use your hands to eat your cake, Nowhere in the Torah does it say only have, one slice of cake, don't have 10 slices of cake.
They weigh 400 pounds.
Right. So that's called a novel versus a Torah. The person thinks, the Torah sanctions this. Look, it's all kosher, I made my blessings, I didn't eat Yom Kippur, I'm eating it on Shabbos even, But you look at the person, the person looks like a pig. That's what the person looks like. They're eating, and they're eating, and they're eating, and they're shoving it down their throats. So the Ramban says, obviously, that is not the Torah's intent. That's not Kedusha. The Torah says, the Torah tells you, Kedoshim to you, be holy. And the Ramban says, be holy means that within the confines of the Torah, there still has to be holiness. Don't think the Torah says that a kosher steak is okay. I should eat 10 kosher steaks with my hands tonight. That's not what it means. The Torah says you should eat kosher food, but also be holy. Make sure you're acting in a way which is holy. Make sure that you're not letting your body get the best of you, even in the realm of kosher eating. So that's the Ramban's famous concept. So we do occasionally see a person, and we say that person looks so religious, but look, the person's acting like a pig. The person's not acting appropriately. So Ramban's saying the Torah is telling you that's not sanctioned by the Torah. Being holy means that even within the rules of halacha, there are ways that you have to act, you have to abstain, you have to eat, like a mensch. You can't eat like a pig. And that's the Ramban's important point. So even when it comes to holiness and kosher eating, there's still a limit. You can't say the food has an OU on it, it has a chassidish hashgacha on it, it's so kosher, it's 100%, I made all my blessings. Still, you have to be a holy person. And holiness doesn't stop at is the food kosher. Now, holiness is that how am I conducting myself? Am I eating, it's fork and knife, I eat the right amounts, I eat like a mensch. That's the best way to put it. So that all comes into the realm of holiness. So eating in the Torah is so important because the way we eat is one defining factor. How holy am I? Am I acting with Kedusha or not? That's how much am I involved in physical lust and how much am I controlling my physical lusts? So eating is something which we can enjoy. We can eat healthy. It can be a very enjoyable and pleasant, uplifting experience and spiritual experience at times. A Shabbos meal, Yom Tov meal, meals where you're connecting with friends and family. Those are times where that's a very positive, spiritual Torah experience to have a relationship like that, have a meal like that. But to become carried away with eating, to eat too much, to eat in an unhealthy way, we walk away feeling disgusting afterwards. So then we've taken the holiness, we've taken the opportunity for holiness away, and we've entered into more of a physical and connection with our body. Yeah.
This like a person who doesn't eat enough.
So a person has a mitzvah to take care of their body. That's a separate mitzvah.
They skip breakfast.
I don't know if I would call that a lack of holiness, but the person is violating a different mitzvah, which is a person is supposed to take care of their body. There's a mitzvah that we're supposed to take care of our bodies.
They're underweight.
Right.
In other words, it seems it's a violation with how they interact with the physical world. They should be taking care of their body, and they're not taking care of
it. Right. So that's the other extreme, which is also not sanctioned by the Torah. The Torah says that you need to take care of your body, be healthy, but don't get carried away with your body. That's there's a balance. There's always a balance.
A balance. I went to the doctor. You need to eat more protein. So I said, well, how do you know? Well, for your weight, you're trying to lose your weight, so you have to increase your protein. And she gave me a number of grams of protein.
Right.
It seemed like very high, so I started to research it. There's a difference of opinion. You should have between 45 as the minimum of the RDA, and you go up to 100 grams of protein.
Okay.
If I don't have good protein for breakfast, the brain doesn't, I can't, I don't I don't think straight.
So that's part of being holy and thinking for your body. That's not against it. Yeah, it's just it, we have to all strike the right balance for ourselves.
Right.
That's
But for all my life here, I don't remember the sources, that one of the reasons why we keep kosher, it's kind of always feels that there is a God. Before taking something, a Jewish person needs to look on the label, if it's kosher, if not, if how it will be.
Right.
But we did never mention it, that this kind of, that God wants to interfere with every stuff. It's more significant step in our life.
That's an interesting point. I mean, every mitzvah ultimately is supposed to make you focus on God. But, I mean, when it comes to eating kosher, maybe the blessing would do the same trick. I could eat a piece of pig and make a blessing. I recognize God before eating a piece of pig, right? So I'm still recognizing God through eating pig, but kosher is an extra step, I think. Any mitzvah you do is going to help you recognize God. So that's the idea of holiness, which is so much, you know, a certain part of food, part of eating. You know, eating holy and becoming holy people based on how we eat. Now, there's another fascinating thing, which is relevant to last week's Parsha, which you find that the very first command in the entire Torah is about food. What's the very first command in the Torah? It's to Adam. Right? It's told to Adam, you should eat from all the trees of the... What? Well, first it says, eat from all the trees of the garden, but don't eat from the tree of knowledge. So the very first command given to a human being was about food. So I was thinking about it, it's a fascinating thing. I mean... The idea of God giving a command to a human being, we understand. Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch explains that God needs to differentiate between an animal and a human being. A human being has a moral calling. A human being has a higher calling. We don't just follow our instincts. We are supposed to do what's right and what's wrong. So God has to create a system of right and wrong for Adam. So there's anything, God could have chosen anything to be right and wrong for Adam. Ultimately, God wanted to give something, Rav Hirsch explains, which Adam wouldn't understand logically. If it was rational, that's not giving him the challenge of right and wrong in the same way. He wanted to give something which is not rational. So, I mean, we say a lot of times we don't understand why are the laws of kashrus rational? Does it make sense? I can't, you know, if my knife is off by, you know, a few inches, the animal is not kosher. Knife's to the left a few inches, the animal is kosher. This is not really rational to us. But yet God says that animal is kosher, the animal is not kosher. So God wanted to find something which wasn't a rational mitzvah for Adam. So we can understand that. But God chose eating. Be the mitzvah given to Adam, the only mitzvah. And that was his one challenge. Had the sources tell us, had Adam lived up to the challenge, the world would have reached its fulfillment. That would have been end of human history, the world would have been at its completion. That's it. All about eating right and not eating right. That was the mitzvah given to Adam. We should be curious as to why was the one mitzvah chosen for Adam the mitzvah of eating? Why is that the mitzvah? And again, according to most commentaries, there's two separate commands. One command is you should eat from all the trees of the garden. So you know, he was commanded you should eat fruits. And the second command was don't eat from that tree. So there's two separate commands. Eat everything else, but don't eat that one. So if he eats from the other tree, he'd do a mitzvah. If he eats from the tree of knowledge, he's committing a sin. That was the mission given to Adam, which he failed, as we know. But we have to understand, why is food... You know, the basis of commands from God to the human being. Also, there are sources to say that since this was the one mitzvah to Adam, this mitzvah is looked at as the root of all the other mitzvahs. I mean, the fact that we have 613 mitzvahs after the fact, those are only kind of offshoots of the very first mitzvah. The very first mitzvah was eat and don't eat. That was the very first mitzvah. That was kind of all-inclusive of the entire Torah. Now that Adam failed, and history had to take its course, and God had to take a new route by giving a Torah to the Jewish people, and we have 613 mitzvahs, all those are merely offshoots of that very first mitzvah. So you have sources that say an idea of that sort. So it's very interesting. The very basis of the relationship with God in this world, between the human being and God, is through eating. So what's the idea? I would suggest, I didn't find any source that says this idea, but I would suggest the following. You know, food is the most basic need of the human being, which is not available to us naturally. Air is available. Thank God we have air wherever we go. Air is not an issue. And God forbid someone has a breathing problem, they have to worry about air. But a healthy human being has air, but that's not a problem. The next level of human need is going to be food and drink. Food and drink is something which we don't have, and we have to look to external sources to get. That's what food and drink is all about. So our first ticket to look beyond ourselves is food and drink. The idea of a relationship between a human being and God is the human being has to be able to look beyond his or herself and reach out to the Almighty. That's the basis of relating to God, looking beyond myself. The food is that very first step where we reach beyond ourselves. The person, so Adam is created, in an hour he's going to be hungry. What do I do? Right? So he has to start looking for food. The Torah relates that, let's read it. Okay, Parshas Bereishis, the story of creation itself, is very enigmatic, very hard to understand, needs a lot of work. But there is one verse, and it says that Kol Siach HaSadeh, Terem Yabaretz, none of the grass had yet grown on the ground, none of the bushes had grown on the ground, Kol Esav HaSadeh Terem Yitzmach, and none of the shrubbery or the grass had sprouted, Ki Lo Himter Hashem Lokim Al Ha'aretz, because Hashem had not yet had it rain on the ground. V'adam ayim, there is no human being la'avodas hadamah, to work the ground. So what causes all food to grow? Rain. And the Torah relates that God didn't have it rain until there was a human being in the world. Why? Because the idea of having the food sprout was only supposed to be the test for the human mission and the test of the human being. So God's going to hold back rain, not let anything sprout until the human being is created. Once the human being is created, now you have a person who is supposed to have the challenge of food. I need to look beyond myself. I need to go find food. Do I connect it back to the source or not? That's the question. But Hashem waited to let it rain because he was waiting for Adam for that purpose. Because the whole purpose of eating and of food was to challenge Adam. Are you going to look towards me for food and recognize me as the source or not? And that's the challenge we all have. If a person is successful, and we do have our sustenance, do we connect it back to God as the provider, as the source? Or do we say, no, the Torah says, Kol Chilutz Miyadi, it's my own personal strength, my own personal might which did it, it's not God. So Adam could walk around the garden, go pick fruits, and Adam would say, look at me, I'm so good at picking fruits. It's so nice that they happen to be fruits here in the Garden of Eden. Or Adam can say, wow, God provided for me such delicious fruits. And this tree over here looks delicious, but God said I shouldn't eat it. God's the one who created it, so therefore I shouldn't eat from it. Or Adam can say, well, it's not so bad. It looks delicious, and so I'll eat it anyways. That's the challenge given to Adam. But it's because food is going to force him to look beyond himself. Until that point, he didn't have to look beyond himself until he needed food. Once he needed food, he had to look beyond himself. So I think that's one very important part of why eating and food is the very first mitzvah, because food is that most basic step beyond myself. Now, I mentioned as an aside, I don't know the answer to this question. The implication is that Adam had to eat. We know Adam was supposed to live forever before he ate from the tree of knowledge. But it sounds like he also needed to eat to live. So, I don't know what would happen. Had Adam fasted and not eaten, would he have starved to death? I don't know. I don't answer that question. Because the Torah does seem to relate that Adam would have lived forever had it not been for his sin. So, but the Torah does seem to tell us that Adam had a need to eat, and he was told he should go eat from all these trees, not from this one. And Adam would actually, I guess, have an appetite to go eat. So, I don't have an answer to that question, but just food for thought, no pun intended. Some food for thought.
As to what did they have to eat for 40 days?
Right. So that was miraculous. That was a miracle. I mean, Adam was told, go eat from the trees. So it sounds like Adam was supposed to eat. He needed to eat. Yes, so Moshe for 40 days didn't eat because Moshe was in a spiritual world for 40 days. The second angel doesn't eat. He didn't eat either. Adam was in the physical world, as it was back then, and he had a mitzvah, don't eat this, eat this. So it sounds like he needed food. I mean, the question would be, if he didn't eat, what would happen to him? I don't know. You could ask the question, what if Adam committed suicide, what would happen to him? I don't know the answers, but it's an interesting thought, yeah.
When Adam prayed for rain, did he eat the fruit first so that he knew if he was supposed to pray for rain?
Well, it's not that I don't think he actually prayed for the rain, but Hashem wasn't going to bring rain until there's a human being who would be capable of recognizing the rain. I mean, it could be the first rain came down without prayer. That could be. I don't know if there's a source for that. But Hashem was delaying the rain because he needed somebody in the world who would recognize the rain coming from God. And until there was somebody who was going to recognize the rain comes from God, Hashem didn't bring the rain. That's explained by Rashi.
But he wouldn't know to daven for it if he didn't know what rain was.
Right. So once he saw that first rain, he said, "Wow, this is amazing! I can drink, and all the crops are growing." So then he would know he's supposed to daven for rain. I guess that's a good approach. Yeah.
When God said that Adam can eat from every tree except for one.
Yeah.
I think of that as Plan A.
Yeah.
Eat the plants.
Right.
Noah comes along, he wants meat. So I said, okay, you can have meat.
Right.
But I think the body is made for plan A.
I know you told me that recently that you started becoming a vegan, right? So that's to be a support for Stanley's new lifestyle, right? But yeah, it's an interesting thing. Yeah, initially he wasn't supposed to eat from the animals, and then he's obviously meat. Only Noah was able to eat meat. So an interesting point. But one more point as to why food was the very first mitzvah. Another thought I had. Why food is that most basic building block in the relationship between God and man. Is because food is our life force. Food sustains us, keeps us going. Like I said, without food, a person, God forbid, would starve to death. And like we said, you are what you eat. You know, food becomes who we are. Food enters into our body, gives us our nutrients, becomes, you know, our energy. So, in our, by eating only what God says to eat, we're showing in our very essence of our life, we're dedicated to God. A person might say, well, what do you mean? I'm hungry. This is a healthy food. I need to eat. This is about life, you know? I'll worry about God later, but I have to live. I have to be alive. Human life is the ideal. So God says that no, even though this is your life force, my will comes first. So again, the law is in most situations you would eat non-kosher food rather than die. That's the halacha based on a different source. But in the essence and the understanding of the laws of kashrus, so eating kosher, we would say that, you know, God has His finger on our essence, on our life force. In our life force, and if the only thing available is, you know, one bag of pretzels, and that'll sustain me for the next 2 days, and that's eating non-kosher food, I have to just eat pretzels for 2 days, that's what I have to do. But it's not so healthy, and I'm going to be hungry, and I'm going to feel weak. But as long as it's not going to kill you, Torah says you have to make sure you eat the kosher pretzels and nothing else. I was speaking to somebody on Shabbos. They said that they were on a flight, which got rerouted to Nashville, Tennessee. And most places in America, you could find a Hershey bar, you could find a bag of potato chips that has an OU on it. He said he was in Nashville, they had nothing. You know, there's pork rinds, there's some off-brands of chocolate, they're like, you know, couldn't find a thing to eat. So he said, like, a person like that, if he can find, you know, so if he's going to have no food to eat, and he's going to, God forbid, starve to death, he can eat whatever he needs to eat. But if not, even though it's uncomfortable and it's unpleasant and you're hungry and you don't feel good because all you're eating for 2 days is the potato chips or pretzels or apples, but that's the hardest you have to do. But it's my essence. It's who I am. Food is, you are what you eat. Food is me. Yeah, but you are dedicated to the core to God. That's the idea. So God tells Adam, hey, your very life force. Again, we have the question of Adam living forever. But putting that aside, God tells Adam, at your very life force, your very essence of being of who you are, you have to understand that's dedicated to me as well. So even though that tree looks delicious and the fruits look, you know, like they're very healthy and sweet and juicy, it doesn't matter. You have to eat everything else because you have to follow my will, even in your life force, even in that which sustains you. Yeah.
I think it's Kabbalah. I'm not sure, but everything has a soul and different kinds of souls depending on what it is. So when you eat parts of an animal, you take inside yourself that life force. And so you want to take things in that are really good for your soul and not things that are going to be bad for your soul. And so that's, I think, why we have the laws of
the country,
at least one of the reasons.
Right. So there's what I think is kind of alluded to by Stanley. There's a verse in Parshas, I think it's Ikyov. It says that, if I can find it. It says that God provided the man for the Jews in the desert for 40 years. And God said that we learned, here it is, Parshas Ikyov. It says, you know, God tormented you, God starved you, God fed you the man, which you weren't familiar with, and your ancestors weren't familiar with. The man who diacha, in order to teach you, a person doesn't live on bread alone, a person lives on the word of God. So some sources explain that to me, you know, every single item in the world exists because there's the word of God sustaining that item. So the fact that God said this should exist is why it exists. And when you eat it, the sustenance you're gaining is not from the actual physical elements of the food, but from the spiritual elements within the food. That's what some sources write. There's a motzah pi Hashem. There's a word of God within every single piece of food. So there is that spiritual element to all foods. Like we said, that spiritually, some non-kosher foods create a spiritual insensitivity. They can clog the person's soul, as it were. The kosher foods create a spiritual sensitivity, and they make the soul healthy. They make the soul in touch with God. So it's all that motzah pi Hashem, that word of God within the food, that's what gives you your life. That's what gives you your life force. It's not necessarily the food itself. The man in the desert, that the Jews ate for 40 years in the desert, was a totally spiritual food. They didn't have to use the bathroom, the rabbis tell us. That it was something which was just sustenance, but nothing more than that. The food we have is dressed in a lot of other things, which are human waste, and that's why we have to use the bathroom. The Jews in the desert, what they ate was totally sustenance and nothing more, because the food, the essence of the food, is what sustains us. That's the essence of food. So just to go back full swing, we'll talk again in the next few weeks, God willing. We'll talk more about specific types of kosher eating and non-kosher eating. Talk about different types of animals. We'll talk about eating blood or eating milk and meat, things like that. But to take it back full swing, you know, food means a lot in Judaism, because food is the essence of who we are. We are what we eat. It has effects on us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It creates sanctity in life. So when we're supposed to eat on Pesach, we shouldn't eat chametz, only eat matzah. So the matzah has a profound effect on the person, and the chametz has an effect on the person. And God's telling you, during this time of year, the effect of chametz on your system, on all levels, is not what you're supposed to have. That's not how you're going to connect with me. That's not how you're going to fulfill yourself as a Jew. The fact that we eat certain foods at other holidays, even if it's just customary, like eating dairy on Shavuot is customary, but there's something to dairy foods that just affect the person in a way which is appropriate for Shavuot. And each one deserves some discussion. The idea that we have a latkes on Hanukkah maybe also has a deeper meaning. Not just we usually say it because of the oil, the fried foods and the oil, or the connection. But also, that food became the custom of the Jewish people to eat on Hanukkah. Could be that a food has an effect on the person, which is appropriate for Hanukkah time. It touches the soul. And therefore, it allows the person to connect with Hanukkah. And food is something which helps us to connect. Let's close with this. The rabbis talk about Abraham. How did Abraham succeeded in bringing many, many people in the world to monotheism? How did he do it? He would invite them into his tent. He'd provide them with food. And they would say, thank you so much, this food is great. And he would say, don't thank me, thank the one who created the food. So that's how Abraham did Kiruv. He brought all these people into monotheism based on food. Because Abraham understood that food is something which has an effect on a person. It connects people. There's a reason that we sit down to a meal with friends. You know, the meal connects us. It opens us up. You know, we enjoy having a meal together. You know, we have a Shabbos meal. We have a Yom Tov meal. We go out for dinner with friends or family. Because food opens a person up. Food connects people. Food connects us to the world around us. Abraham understood, when you eat food, you recognize that the food is good. So ultimately, that is going to enable a person to connect with God. So just like we said, the first mitzvah given to Adam and Chava was about food. Abraham, trying to bring people back to monotheism to recognize God, also gave them food and taught them about recognizing God through food. So I guess we should take the lesson from us, that food is a very powerful, possibly the primary tool to recognize God in our life. And every other mitzvah can be looked at as an offshoot of that very first mitzvah given to Adam and Chava in the Garden of Eden, which was, eat this and don't eat that. Because that's such a profound effect on the person. Yeah.
Somebody told me years ago that be fruitful and multiply was the first command.
Be fruitful and multiply. That's the first... Fruitful and multiply is the first mitzvah which was binding. That mitzvah is the first mitzvah in terms of what we have to do nowadays. It could be you're right that was the first command. Now that you're mentioning it. Well, now you're mentioning it, that probably was the first command listed. The first prohibition was about food. Let me just look back here.
But there is no people at this time when this is true. It's about fish.
First command. I think Stanley is right that the very first command given was before to multiply, but that was not. I mean, going back to
first, wasn't it?
That's the first command given to the Jews as a whole, as a nation. first command given to individuals, which became binding on us as well, was to be fruitful, multiply. So Stanley is right about that. That was the first thing mentioned in the Torah. But that one has a very rational purpose. God says, I created the human being. I want you to stay in the world. The first mitzvah given, which is supposed to create a sense of right and wrong, of morality, of connection to the spiritual, was the mitzvah of eating. But you're right. The very first command, I stand corrected on that. You're right about that. The very first command was be fruitful, multiply. That was a rational command, just very practical. You got to keep the world going, or else what's the purpose of it all? You know, so God tells Adam and Eve, keep the world going. But the first command, which is supposed to allow a person to have a sense of right and wrong, and good and evil, and connect with God, was the eating commandments of eat this tree, don't eat that tree. Good. Okay.